Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever!
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:02 the time. Hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings. Coach Houston Nutt joins us in just a few moments. We are in the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together. Currently 69 degrees. It'll get up to 81 today, although we'll see a lot of clouds. Good chance for rain, about 50%. And then tonight, mostly cloudy with showers and a few thunderstorms. Tomorrow for your Saturday, 84. We'll see sun. We'll see some clouds. Only about a 24% chance of precipitation. Hour number two of the program, brought to you each and every day by our friends at James Gattis Jewelers. We've been talking about their terrific sale that's going on the next couple of days. It started yesterday. It will continue through tomorrow. It's their Stacktacular event. You can stack and save on all bands and bracelets in stock, 20% off the first, 30% off the second, 40% off the third, just in time for Mother's Day, which is a week from Sunday. Also, James Gattis Jewelers, each and every Monday and Friday, they bring you the Memphis Sports Fact. Did you know? This is pretty cool. Got sent this email yesterday. It's called the We Are Family Alumni Basketball Series. It'll be taking place tomorrow and will feature top MSCS alumni and rival high schools going head-to-head on the hard court at White Station High School. You'll see the likes of former Mitchell coach Andre Turner, again, now is going to come to Memphis as an assistant coach for Penny Hardaway. Terry Tippett, the legend from White Station. Wes Henning, the legend from Ridgeway. And players like Chris Gardner, the former Memphis Tiger. Tariqo White, the former Ole Miss Rebel. These are all former stars here that played in Memphis, played their high school basketball. Some of them Mr. Basketball nominees, Mr. Basketball winners, and things of that nature. Anyway, this event is coming up tomorrow. Tickets are just $10 at the door. Doors will open at 11 a.m. and will start at 12 noon with Raleigh Egypt and the alums taking on the alums from Craigmont. So check it out. Again, the We Are Family Alumni Basketball Series at White Station High School. And again, James Gattis Jewelers, 4900 Poplar Avenue between Mendenhall and St. Nick, on the web at gattisjewelers.com. Time now to talk to our good friend Houston Nutt, former head football coach at Ole Miss, at Arkansas, at Boise State, at Murray State, an analyst for a number of years with CBS Sports, and we've had him on a number of times here on the program. We always enjoy talking to Coach Houston Nutt. Coach, how are you this morning?
Doing good. How y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. I had to get you. Well, first of all, you're going to be speaking at the Touchdown Club on Monday, and we will discuss that a little bit later on here and kind of talk about what you're going to bring to the table. I know it's going to be good. I can tell you that much. But I really wanted to bring you on initially because of what is going to happen here, and it may be in the next few days, few weeks, few months, this antitrust lawsuit or suits that the NCAA is going to have to fork over. They're reporting $2.7 billion, and the payoff for that each school will be involved in each and every year seems to me, Coach, that we are going down that road of even more division or between the, let's call it, the haves and the have-nots. It doesn't seem to be something that will be a positive for Division I collegiate sports as we know it. What is your take on what seems to be going to happen here very soon?
I tell you, this is a whole different world. You know, I've been kind of worried about our football for the last 3 or 4 years when all this started with NIL, transfer portal. But now this, and you mentioned something about the have and have nots. You know, you mentioned Murray State. The one thing I love about Murray State, you know, there's a level of play there that, boy, gave everybody an opportunity. You know, those kids love playing there, and it was good football. Ohio Valley Conference that we played in, and I can give you so many examples of guys that's done so well now with families, their business, and just being a man and a great citizen. I mean, it was great lessons, you know, and that's what I worry about with what's all happening right now. boy, I tell you, money, it's just a whole different level, and yeah, I'm just concerned about it. You know, Greg, I just don't know, you know, where all this ends. And there's no ceiling right now, and it just keeps going. And if you recall, I think, you know, you had me on you know, I think 3, 4, 5 years ago when he said, you know, do you want players to have money? And I remember going to Destin, but we wanted the players to have money. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. Now with what's happening, you know, there's some that locker room has to be just a little bit disjointed a little bit when there's a very few that are getting a great sum of money, and then there's some that are getting very little. So I just don't know.
Do you think it should be, if we're going to go down this road, would you like to see it, if they're going to be getting money, basically just making them employees and going that route? Or what do you think is the, if there is one, the best way to do it to get the players the money?
Right. You know, I hadn't put a whole lot of thought into it, but, you know, it just looks like to me that, you know, we're going down this business route. You know, I've had coaches tell me, you know, we got to really talk hard to our players about paying taxes, and mm-hmm. and there's some players didn't pay their taxes on this and that, and so now you're opening up a whole nother can of worms. You know, when you start talking about employees, and really, it's probably the way you're going to go now. You know, so I hadn't spent that much time on it, so mm-hmm. I don't really know. You know, without looking at everything, you know, just from top to bottom, but. Well, we are definitely going down a road that, to me, it looks like a little slippery.
You know, that road has been slippery now for a few years, as you said. Yeah. But I think we're all in agreement about players being compensated. It's just how much will they be considered? Will they be considered employees? Will they pay taxes? Will there be unions? UAB just the other day, the first team that have come together and that they'll be represented, and that was urged on by their head coach Trent Dilfer. So I think we're going down that road as well, Coach. But I want to explain for those who don't know and are listening and are a little confused about this. So what we have here is the landmark House versus NCAA lawsuit, and what probably will happen is they'll settle here soon, because if not, they're going to trial in January. And we're talking about $2.7 billion. That's the estimate of what the NCAA would have to pay out, which would reshape the college sports industry. So according to this story, the NCAA's national office, rather than its individual member schools or conferences, would pay for the settlement of past damages over a period of 10 years. So over 10 years, they're doling out that type of money. The NCAA payments would be paid to former college athletes who say they were illegally prevented from making money by selling the rights to their name, image, and likeness. What do you think about that? Going back in retro, for example, Reggie Bush just got his Heisman Trophy back. I thought he never should have lost it, but the fact is they went back in time and they go, all right, well, now these players are making money, so we know what happened with you and what you were accused of and what we found out, and we took away your Heisman. We're going to give you the Heisman back. Well, do you think it's right that when it was a time when it was illegal to pay players, that in retro, they should all be given retribution for that?
Wow. Great question. How about this? Let's go back to SMU. SMU gets the death penalty, right? Let's go back to them. Are we going to go back and give them their wins and go back and look at all those guys? To me, that's minuscule. But it goes back to what you said. At that time, that was against the rule.
Right.
And so there's... It just blows my mind. I just don't see how you can, you know, keep going back in time when that was the rule. Now, I'm with you on Reggie Bush. You know, I mean, hey, what he did on the field and this and that, he was phenomenal. I get that. But I just don't know how far do you go back, mm-hmm. you know, with schools and players and reparations and all going back, you're talking about how about wins? How about all those vacated wins? Now you're going to go back and give coaches their wins? I mean, it never ends.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole vacating of anything is just, that's one of the dumbest things, because everybody knows that those games were won and everything else anyway. So it never really makes a whole lot of sense as far as the vacating of wins goes. Anyway, what's your thought? There, part of this is that the bowls have come out and they want some sort of basically a collective bargaining agreement. And if they're going to be getting this money in the revenue sharing, that they basically want a contract that is they hope going to make players play in bowl games and stop the opt-outs.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any way to do that? Like, literally, because to me, like, it's in a contract that says you have, like, you can't say you absolutely have to play the bowl game. Yeah. If you don't play the bowl game, what are you going to get? You lose, like, a little bit of your money. So, like, do you think there's any way to stop the trend of the opt outs in those bowls that aren't the playoff games?
You know what? I think there is okay, we want to play, you know, big boy games now. We want to be in almost like an NFL free agency, and we're going down this one. Hey, let's put it in the contract. You know, one of the things that to me discourages me is when I'm sitting there watching bowl games and I see guys on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
It's one thing if they're hurt. But now you've been there the whole week, you got your jersey on, and you're clapping your team after getting beat, and here's a great player on the sideline. I'm not going to play. I got to get ready. Well, wait a minute. You know, you were with us. You were with the team. You know, and that's what I worry about. I worry about the lessons that, you know, the stick to itness. We're a team. It's not about you. It's about us. You know, I worry about all those things because I saw a lot of players that didn't play. So to answer your question, I think it should be us. Hey, if you're healthy, you need to play, and we're going to put it in the contract. You're going to get paid. If you refuse, it's a pretty big cut right there. We're going to take some money away from you.
Not to mention what your teammates must think. As a former player, exactly. Coach, how would you react to a star player that lets you down and doesn't play in a big bowl game? Even though it's not a playoff game, it's a big bowl game, and they're on the sideline healthy as hell.
I'm telling you, that has to be very, very hard. And I witnessed a lot of coaches, and I watched hard how they handled it. And they handled it pretty good. I couldn't have done that well because it's like what you said. We've all been in here busting it since August and fighting. We finally get to a really good bowl and got to play a very good team. And I'm not going to play this game. I got to get ready for my future.
Exactly.
It's about me now. You know, I just can't stand it. Can't stand it.
Coach Houston Nutt joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Okay, so here's the story that came out last night from Yahoo Sports, Ross Dellinger. The new details on a college model may cost power schools $300 million each over 10 years. I know they make a lot of money, but $300 million because what they have to do in revenue sharing is dole out that money. Scholarships, expansion, and new roster limits. They're talking about 17 to 22 million revenue sharing cap. $2.9 billion damages tab. We just talked about that. Implementation no sooner than the fall of 2025. So what I get out of this is, the powers, the teams right now, the schools, the programs that make a lot of money, it's going to be a hit on them, but they're going to survive. But what does it do for the group of five schools? I think it's devastating. How can you afford $17 to $22 million to pay out to athletes? Right now, it's so hard for them just to get enough money to even battle other schools for players in the portal, Coach. How would you be able to survive if your schools in the mid-majors right now in what we know as Division I football?
Well, you hit it. They're not. You're not. That's the most devastating thing that could happen. It's the bigger schools will probably make it. But I'll tell you what now. I don't see how you sustain this thing consistently over and over, year after year after year. But now the group of five, they're not. They're just not. You know, they won't be able to survive that. And now you start leading. To me, it's kind of a signal of, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to just take the top 40 teams or top 50. Everybody else, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. We're going to just have a superpower of teams. And the ones that the haves, that you call the haves with all the money, they're going to play. And everybody else, tough luck. So I don't know. I really... You know, again, being at the Murray States and Boise States, I know what it took for us to just get, you know, guys to have a tutor and get some extra food. That was tough enough, you know, get helmet certified on that level. Everything, that's why those guys had to play those big games to make it, you know.
So your guess would be, and you wouldn't be alone if this is the way you're looking at it, that we are headed to that super conference.
I think so. Everything points in that direction. All these, the Big Ten and the SEC, Commissioner Sankey, they're you can bet they're recruiting right now. Their eyes are open, and and I'm not saying they're on the phone on the hour, but I couldn't believe when Texas and Oklahoma, when that announcement first came out, guys, two brand names. I thought, well, wait, this is April Fool's. Oklahoma's been to the Final Four. I mean, they've been to college playoffs here. They did it through the Big 12. So why in the world would you want to go to the SEC? Well, it's all about money now. Mm-hmm. All about the big-time money. But I tell you, it's going to be harder for them. I truly believe it's going to be harder for Texas and Oklahoma. I don't know. We'll see. I got my popcorn and Coke ready.
With the fact that it looks like we're headed towards a 14-team playoff after probably this coming season, what do you think is the right number for the playoff?
You know, again, and I think y'all asked me this about 5 or 6 years ago, and I truly believe I love champions, and when you have the five, we had five power conferences, take the five champions, and then take three at large. So we started out with the number eight. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be excited if there's 12, if there's 14. They're going to be excited because it will be. It would be a lot like the NCAA basketball tournament. When you start putting those numbers of those teams in there, especially, let's say, like a Georgia this year that didn't make it, but you know how good they are. Mm-hmm. And now you put them in the tournament, you know, who gets hot at the right time. Hey, it'll be exciting now. It's going to draw eyeballs. There's no question about it. So I'm excited about that. But I've always been the believer of, hey, you win a championship, you deserve to be there. Take those five championships and now go get three of the next best. But hey, the number, to me, the number 12 or 14, hey, that sounds good to me. Let's go.
How many in your kind of average year of college football, how many teams you think are capable of winning a national championship?
Yeah. You know, if you look at last year, to me, there was about four, five, six teams that really, right there, they kept getting better in November. And to me, well, you could see, hey, the ball bounce is right, mm-hmm. the right turnover, and things are hitting right, especially injury-wise, things are playing right. Hey, there could be five or six teams that could easily win it. Mm-hmm. You know, I go back to Georgia because if they're healthy with Brock Bowers and all those guys, they're going to be in every game to the fourth quarter. There's no question in my mind. So I just think there's always, you know, those five, six, and sometimes that number could be higher. But that's what I like about when you have champions in a tournament and then the next best team that's coming that's gotten better in November. Man, watch out, because mm-hmm. that's fun to watch.
Well, you knew it was going to happen one of these years. I don't know if you expected it to be this year. Nick Saban retiring. Were you floored by it, or did you see it coming?
You know, I was a little surprised. I always like watching Coach Saban, on the sideline, expecting to be there. But again, you can see it. You know, again, I go back to my popcorn and Coke, and I'm watching, and I've talked to him just, a couple of times, not often. But I could tell that he was getting tired of just the players. And again, hey, we were down there, we all voted. We wanted players to have cost of attendance. Mm-hmm. We wanted them to be, compensated, to have movie money, gasoline money. We wanted that. But now when you start adding to the equation, wait a minute, I got a player in my office today, and he's making $150,000 a year, but he's got to have $250,000 now because there's another team that says, come on. Mm-hmm. And so now you got to keep your eggs in the basket. You got to guard them. And then you're going to have coaches looking at other players from other teams. Hey, he's unhappy. So-and-so on our team who played with him in high school, he's unhappy, so we can go get this guy. And, I talked to football teams in August, and I had the privilege to talk to Missouri and some SMU. For example, SMU. Go talk to SMU, Rhett Lashley's team. And he said that, he had close to 25, 26 players that didn't go through spring, and 11 of those guys will be starters.
Wow.
I mean, that blows my mind. So you put all that. I can promise you Nick Saban was going crazy with what's happening in football. And so I didn't expect it. I was expecting at least to be there another two or three years to answer your question, but it doesn't really surprise you when you look at everything the way everything's going right now.
Coach Nutt will be here in Memphis on Monday night. He'll be speaking to the folks at the Memphis Touchdown Club. That'll be at the Hilton Memphis Hotel. What will be your theme?
You know, it's a different format. You know, it's
Q&A?
Kind of a conversation. Yeah, we got a little conversation. We got Q&A, and I'm looking forward to it. I know there's a lot of good quarterbacks, a lot of good wisdom in that room, in that quarterback club. So they'll have a lot of questions, probably the same categories that you and I, we've been talking this morning about. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's going to be rehashed. So, like, whatever they want to go with, we'll go with, and we're going to have a good time.
I'm sure it's going to be our buddy Harold Grader probably asking you those questions.
Yes.
So looking forward to that. Monday night will be fantastic. Go out and see the coach speak at the Memphis Touchdown Club. Coach, always great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great weekend and a great trip to Memphis.
Hey, appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Take care. I think he's absolutely right about Coach Saban. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, we wanted them to have compensation. You know, money for to go out and get a pizza. Now they're like, Coach, I need $2 million. He's talking about $150,000. I think that's passed. That ship has sailed. My gosh.
Cost of attendance was once a thing.
It was once a thing. Smokeslam, the world's ultimate barbecue showdown, is coming to Memphis May 16th through the 18th at Tom Lee Park on the river in downtown Memphis. We're putting the festival back in barbecue. That's where you can combine barbecue, music, friends, family, and good times. More than 50 teams competing for the largest cash purse in barbecue history. Live music, Tone Loc, Rob Bass, Young MC, War, The Barqués, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, just to name a few of the musical acts that'll be there. It's a fan-first experience like no other. Celebrity chef live cooking demos. You can indulge in mouth-watering barbecue samples from the greatest pitmasters in the country. I love the fact that you can do that. Normally, it's you have to be a part of a team. I love the fact that you'll be able to go ahead and sample the great barbecue. Fireworks every night. They got a carnival atmosphere with a Ferris wheel, carousel, games for the kids. They'll love it. Single game, general admission tickets, just $25. And if you get a three-day GA pass, it's only $65. For more information and to get your tickets, go to smokeslam.com. It's Smokeslam, the world's ultimate barbecue showdown, May 16th through the 18th at Tom Lee Park in downtown Memphis. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Very
superstitious. Hour number 3, 10 in a row will come your way at 9:05, so a little earlier than usual, then at 9:25 or thereabouts, Ed DeRosa will join us from Horse Racing Nation to break down the Run for the Roses, tomorrow's Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs. I also do want to stress, and we'll get to your calls here in a second on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255, that no deal is done as far as the NCAA and the antitrust suit, and the Ross Dellinger story from Yahoo Sports has not been agreed upon just yet. But again, the numbers are absolutely staggering when you're looking at the possibility of revenue sharing and a $17 to $22 million revenue sharing cap per team, per institution. Yet, there are some that certainly are not really concerned about money, like the University of Georgia. As yesterday, the news came down that Kirby Smart has a contract extension as they reworked his salary. Compensation, total compensation, total package, $13 million per year. So Kirby Smart becomes the highest paid college football coach in the nation.
Certainly.
Worth it, right?
Yeah, I mean, deserves on at the current marketplace, there's no doubt. I mean, he is, you can very much make the argument that he should be the highest paid coach in college football. So Good for him.
How long ago, you probably don't have the answer to this, Zach, maybe you can find this. When and who was the first college football coach to make $1 million in a season? How long ago was it? What coach was it? $1 million in a year. He's making $13 million per season. Mike is dialed in on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines. Mike,
yeah, how are you? I found it kind of rich, Houston, that complaining about the players getting money and coaches. They sign contracts and bust them all the time and leave, you know?
Sure. Just mentioned the Smarts contract.
That's kind of rich. But this retrospective part of this lawsuit, you might be having a problem by being too successful. Let's just take Memphis, who hadn't really made any money off their football program, and Tennessee, who's made a ton. Well, if you're a lawyer, you're going to go where the money's at. And you're going to go after Tennessee, and you're not getting anything out of Memphis.
What are you talking about?
Well, the retro's being paid by the NCAA's office. About,
the second part of the lawsuit is a retro or going back and picking up money they claim that them in the past.
Yeah, right.
But that's being paid by the NCAA's office, not the schools.
If you're at Memphis, you really hadn't made any money off your football program. I mean, and you made millions up there in Tennessee, so I'm a lawyer. I'm not going to waste my time going after Memphis because they don't have the money.
But again, as I said, the NCAA, according to this, if this suit, this antitrust suit is accepted and they don't go to court, it's all paid for by the NCAA. Yeah, they have to cover the cost
after schools.
Well, who do you think is going to pay it still? I mean, if you don't have the money to pay it, they're still going to go to Tennessee and the teams that have got the money.
The NCAA is going to pay.
The NCAA home office is paying it. That's the
whole
point.
Yeah, I know that, but who are they going to get it from?
I hope they had that money. I hope the NCAA has that money. If not, we got a bigger problem.
Well, I mean, the schools have got it. That's where they're going to go back to. Your NCAA is a member organization. I mean, that's what it is. It's the college.
Mike, they're not going to the schools to ask them for money to pay for this suit, this $2.7
billion. They don't have that money themselves.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. The $2.7 billion will be paid by the NCAA, the governing body of collegiate sports. They'll cover the $2.7 billion compensation for players in the past. We just went over that whole darn thing. Now, as far as revenue sharing, it's a whole different ballgame. We are talking about each school having to come up with in some cases, astronomical amount of money. Across the board, we're talking 17 to 22. Ohio State, they can afford it, even though it's still a hit, 17 to 22 in compensation. We're not even talking about NIL. We're talking about compensation for the players getting a part of the pie as a revenue-sharing entity. Memphis, Temple, Tulane. I mean, how do you survive?
Well, you don't have to pay that. That's
no,
the cap.
You don't. No, no. But
you can opt in for as much as you want.
That's true. But how do you survive being as competitive as you want to be if you can't keep up with the Joneses? So those players that you've been able to nab, for example, Memphis has been able to nab a Dane Danger from Illinois. It'll make it a lot tougher. Even though we're talking about again the money that comes from the NIL comes from the collectives, which is different. But the compensation that they would get as part of revenue sharing as a student athlete for that particular school would be a lot less than what these other schools would pay if they pay the maximum of 17 to 22 in their pool for their athletes. So the money, the compensation would go down. There's two revenue streams now we're talking about if this goes through and we're going down that avenue for the student athlete. There's two. There's collectives, NIL, whatever they can get for their name, image, and likeness. Which, again, I think everybody, for the most part, was accepting of this, although we didn't think it would go crazy because there's no regulations. And the second revenue stream would be from revenue sharing. And therefore, the school, that's when, you know, maybe Mike was confused, that's when they will have to produce the money to pay the student athletes. The other money, the compensation for the former athletes and all that deal, that jazz is coming from the NCAA. Little confusing. It's crazy. It changes. Already the landscape of collegiate sports has changed over the last 5 years. It's going to change even more so. And the division, the gap, the chasm, if you will become deeper. There ain't no question about it. I hate to be the bearer of the bad news. Doesn't have to be doomsday. It all depends on, again, the support you're getting from your university with your backers, which goes back to having deep-pocketed sponsors, deep-pocketed boosters, people that are willing to give that money. Speaking of Memphis, they have officially begun their search for the new athletics director. There has been a formation of a six-person advisory committee to assist Dr. Bill Hardgrave. I think this was first reported by the Commercial Appeal yesterday and Jason Munns. On the committee, several very familiar names, people that I know very well, Willie Gregory, the Nike Director of Global Community Impact, Richard Smith, the President and CEO, Airline and International at FedEx, and again, an integral part of Memphis receiving that gift from the Smith family, obviously his father being Fred Smith, Rick Spell, President of the Auxiliary Services Foundation and the President of Spell Restaurant Group, and then three others, Michael Cook, who's the chairman of Memphis's campaign committee, Linda Black, faculty athletics rep and a professor in the law school department, and David North, the chair of the athletics committee. A couple of these folks, I don't know who they are. I've heard of them, haven't met them, haven't had that pleasure. But that's your six-person committee to help with Dr. Bill Hardgrave and their search for a new athletics director. I like the fact that they haven't hired a search firm. They're not, even though I understand why they do that, why schools do that, but they haven't hired a search firm. They're not paying outside money. It's people within the Memphis system that have been associated with Memphis or directly or indirectly that will come up with the new AD.
It's successful people, extremely successful people who can recognize leaders and successful people. So it makes sense to have those people helping you find that next AD.
I know why they don't go down this avenue. I still believe that, to me, a lot of these committees, a lot of these award groups, things of that nature, really need to have a member of the media. I really think it helps to have somebody with that background. I just think it's important to have
hire an AD.
Yes, I think they're the variety. Some of these folks, I don't know how familiar they are with sitting athletic directors. They will learn. They will find out. There's no guarantees when there are people in the media that are well versed in that. I'm not talking about just here in Memphis. I'm talking about in any search of a new school AD. To me, I'm not talking about a school president. I'm talking about a school athletic director. Those who have that knowledge of, you're shaking your head no. I don't understand. Why does it make no sense to have the knowledge? You don't think media and some members would be qualified to be able to put, to have their input taken seriously about candidates?
Yes, there are some that would be qualified. There are a few, but like, why would a school have a media person to hire?
They're not going to. I'm saying, to me though, it would make sense.
But why?
It's another brain in the room that may be coming at it from a different standpoint.
They have extremely successful people in their
field. And there's no media members that are extremely successful.
There might be a few.
We're all morons. Like, we've all failed, Zach.
If there was a person like that, they could use them. But like, you act like that, it should be a requirement to get a media person.
Nice to see a member of the media on these committees. I disagree with you that it makes no sense.
To say we should have a media person? No, yeah,
Perspective. It's a different perspective, just like it is when the committee, the college.
Why is it a different perspective? Like, what do you mean it's a different perspective? It's within, a different person.
You work within athletics. You work directly and indirectly with athletics. Your dealings with coaches, your dealings with teams. I mean, we're talking about, I'm not going to, the six they have are incredibly successful, knowledgeable people. But it's not just about being successful in a different field. That's fine. To throw in somebody that's also within the field makes sense to me. I got a text from a buddy. He said, back in the mid-1990s, college football saw the first ever $1 million head coach when Steve Spurrier's average contract paid him just over the $1 million mark in 1996. Just a year after Florida State upped Bobby Bowden's deal to $975,000. This comes from SB Nation. So think about that. Bobby Bowden had his contract up to $975,000, which I imagine at that point was the most, and then Spurrier surpasses it a year later with $1 million. That is 1995. So that is 30 years ago, basically, 29 to be exact. We have gone from $975,000 to $13 million. I've heard of inflation, but this is ridiculous. But if you can get it, you get it. If they're willing to pay it, then they're willing to pay it. Nobody's holding a gun to anybody's head. It's just amazing. And that's why we've had this topic of discussion for decades. Why aren't the players compensated? Look what the coaches make. It was the point our caller Mike was making at the beginning there about, you know, what Houston Nutt had to say. But now it's come off the rails a little bit with name, image, and likeness because there was never any direction on which way they were going. So now with revenue sharing that seems to be coming around the corner, it is going to flip the collegiate sports world on its head.
Guns, guns, guns. That's what it's about at Classic Arms. When you go see the folks at Classic Arms, UTJ, the entire gang over there, the folks at Classic Arms, they've got everything you need. They've got all the top brand names. They got every kind of gun you can imagine. They've got new guns. They've got used guns. They not only will sell guns, but they will also buy. They will trade. They do it all at Classic Arms. Over 700 firearms in stock. They're the only gun importer in the Mid-South, and they have the guaranteed lowest price in town. They'll also do free gun inspections. They do free gun appraisals. They'll do free bore sighting as well. They do it all at Classic Arms. If it's related to guns, if it's any type of gun, they have it for you at Classic Arms. You can shop 24/7, classicarmsofmemphis.com, or you can go visit them in person. That's the better way to do it. Classic Arms is located at 1740 Germantown Parkway. It's right behind the Corky's there on Germantown Parkway in that shopping center. That's where you'll find Classic Arms. Again, all the top brand names, Browning, Beretta, Benelli, Remington, Winchester, Smith & Wesson, Colt, Glock, whatever it is you're looking for. Again, they are pretty much going to have it, or they can find it for you over at Classic Arms. Again, go see them, 1740 Germantown Parkway, or shop online at classicarmsofmemphis.com.
The big orange caravan rolled into Memphis last night. Some interesting things that were said. This is Sports 56 Mornings. We'll talk about it when we return right here on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app. Or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch.
Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Over the years, since I arrived in Memphis in 1995 and was in television for so many years, I realized how quickly this city is a melting pot. A lot of people from outside the area that have moved to Memphis because of the jobs, how big the city is. And so each time in the spring, when I was in television, we'd bring the cameras out and we'd do the interviews with the folks from Tennessee with the big orange caravan, or the Ole Miss deal, or Mississippi State would be in town, or Arkansas would be over normally in West Memphis. Not going to be there this year. They're actually going to be in Jonesboro. But it was always fun to go out and talk to different representatives from those schools and those coaches as well. Don't do it as much now, not being in local television, don't bring the camera over there. I just like to read stories, though, that are written about these people that come here to Memphis from the likes of Mark Giannotto, who wrote last night about the Tennessee Big Orange Caravan that came to town. And they're here every single year. The coaches, the administrators, understand the importance of this city for recruiting. That's not a myth. That is true. The talent that is here in this city, in this community, in this region. But it was very interesting to hear, you know, Mark tried to talk about getting a series together again in basketball with Rick Barnes, and Barnes, as his quote was, "I don't see it happening." Of course, it's not going to happen. He has his personal issues with Penny Hardaway. And then Josh Heupel, the football coach, quote, "I'm not in charge of scheduling, but Coach Ryan Silverfield does a really good job over there." It's almost like, you know, a little pat on the head to Coach Silverfield and the Memphis program. You know, the little guys are hanging in there tough. But Mark makes some great points, because it's not like they play in other sports as well. They play every once in a while, when it's built in. It makes sense to be able to play, maybe not annually, but every other year in basketball, football, every once in a while, certainly more than what is happening right now. And then Danny White, the AD, kind of stirs the pot. He says, well, Memphis is an orange town. And of course, you're going to say that, and you're going to rile up your fan base. Yes, there are Memphis, there are a lot of Tennessee fans. A lot of my friends are Tennessee fans. There are Ole Miss fans, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Alabama, Vanderbilt even. I mean, there are fans from everywhere, not just the SEC, that are here in Memphis. But this is the Memphis Tigers town. And when you hear that, as Tigers fans, I'm sure they get irate to hear that. But it's going to continue. It's just that it's frustrating, I think, as a fan base, Eli, to have a school, excuse me, down the road, a long road, but down the road in the same state that you cannot play on a more regular basis.
Yeah, it would certainly be nice to get matchups between Memphis and Tennessee, but it used to be the thought that you could use basketball as a way to get them to play at football. Well, but just be honest, like, the Tennessee basketball program has surpassed the Memphis basketball program. So there's no incentive on either side for Tennessee to play Memphis if they don't want to. So it really, in either sport, doesn't do Tennessee any good at this point.
Do you buy into what has been a narrative for many years that, you know, people believe, Memphis fans believe, that not that they're afraid to play him, but they don't want to play him because they don't get anything out of it. But if they do lose the game, which is possible, certainly, especially in basketball, and obviously we go back to the great win in football, as we often do, because it was one of the great sports moments in Memphis sports history, that they lose a lot. They lose a lot from losing to a Memphis, as opposed to gaining anything from beating a Memphis, unless it was 1-2, which it was at one time in basketball.
Well, in football, yeah, I mean, there certainly is nothing to gain. I mean, obviously when you're playing the SEC schedule, it's brutal enough. And in their non-conference, they don't want to play. I mean, first of all, they want to play all home games pretty much, unless it's a national game of some sort. Like, because you have to play the SEC schedule, you have to play a Power 5 conference in your non-conference. The rest of them, they pretty much probably want at home against games or as bye games that. They're not going to be anything. They don't want to go on the road to anybody else or any of that stuff. And it does them no good to do it, because their only goal is to go undefeated or minimize losses as much as possible to try and get into the playoffs.
Right, right. No, I agree with that. But I'm asking you just for an opinion. Do you think that they look at it and go, you know, Memphis, we could lose to them. We don't want to play them. Whereas some of the other schools, you know, maybe you schedule a 1AA in Austin Peay within the state, and you go, well, that's not going to be a problem. Do you think there's respect from Tennessee towards Memphis? I'm not talking about
cities. In football, no. Yeah, okay. But if Memphis said, hey, we'll come to you guys every year, they would probably, if Memphis never wanted Tennessee to come here, I'm sure Tennessee would play Memphis.
You think so?
Yeah. But they're just not going to come here. Like, there's no reason for them to come here to play a game.
If Memphis is going to play a bye game, which they are going to this upcoming season, and they're playing in Tallahassee against Florida State and the Mike Norvell connection, which is cool. Some place that they don't go to often, they get to play a premier program that had a great year last year. But you're a bye team, and Memphis has not been a bye opponent for ages. I remember talking to R.C. Johnson on this show about that. You know, we're not going to be anybody's bye opponent. Whereas other people look at it and go, in this day and age, when you need money, why would you not be a buy opponent for just one opponent? Well, they are. They're going to be Florida. And yet there's people, and I'm one of them, that still believes they can go in there and make it a game. And you never know when you could pull the upset off. But mostly it's playing a home-and-home with an Ole Miss, or maybe a home-and-home with Mississippi State, which they have done. Regional games. They've done it recently with Missouri. That makes better sense because you will get that return game. Now, Missouri got out of it. They bought their way out of it, and they ended up having the game in St. Louis at the Dome. But when you can have Ole Miss come in, or even Arkansas, Mississippi State, you're going to get huge crowds. You're going to get great gate. It's an attractive home schedule, you know, coupled with what you have in the conference, which is not great. That makes an awful lot of sense. So to be just simply a buy opponent of Tennessee doesn't. But if you're going to start the trend of being, of having one game where you're the buy opponent, does it make more sense to look at trying to play, pick your school, go out to Southern California and play USC, play Ohio State at the Big House, or does it make more sense to play Tennessee when people can make that trek more easily across the state to support their Tigers? Because I think, and I don't know if I've ever asked Laird that, of course now he's moved on, or Coach Silverfield that, even in private about that question. If that, because I'm sure they have that attitude as well, just like RC did, that, you know, we're nobody's buy opponent. But you have to bring in finances every which way you can. And being a one-time, once-a-year buy opponent of a team, if they don't want to play you home-and-home, home-and-home is the first goal. That's why you continue to lean on these regional SEC schools. If Tennessee doesn't want to do it, fine. But when you run out of those schools wanting to play home-and-homes, and you're going to be a buy for one team 1 year, Tennessee makes a lot of sense to me rather than going somewhere else around the country.
Well, I would say they're probably not going to do a lot of buy games because, it goes to the whole thing of with the new playoff situation, you're just trying to limit losses and get to that playoff as the group of five team. So it doesn't make as much sense to that. If you are going to play a buy game, I would not stay in the state. I would not stay regional. I would be going across the
country. Well, if they wanted to limit losses, they wouldn't play any home and homes with any of these teams, like, even though they have beaten them in the past.
But again, if you can get home and homes, it's a different thing because you want the home game. You want the home gate out of it. To just go get paid somewhere to take a loss, I don't think you want to do that.
Right. So it's more about the gate than it is about trying to avoid a loss, because you could still go to the playoff losing one of those games in your non-conference schedule if you take care of business, win your conference championship game, and you're the top rated of the five non-power conferences.
But like Tennessee, for instance, has no road game scheduled against anybody other than their Power Five opponents mm-hmm. on their future schedules.
Okay.
So
it may not be a personal thing.
I don't
when it
know.
Comes to football, at least. It is with basketball. It's personal.
I don't know going back when the last time they played a road game at a non-power Power Five school is. I'd have to go through their schedules. But mm-hmm. again, there's just no reason for them to do that. When you're playing in the SEC and then you're playing a one Power Five opponent outside the SEC, they're not going to want to go on the road anywhere. They're going to want easy home wins. They've got on their schedule, they've got UAB coming in. They got New Mexico State coming in, UTEP coming in, Western Michigan coming in. But yeah, they'll play these teams, but they're just not going to go to them.
Yeah, UAB has no problem being a buy opponent and making money for their program. They have no problem going to Knoxville. Mother's Day is 1 week from this Sunday, and it's time to say thanks to Mom with the greatest candy around. The greatest candy, I think, in the country. And that's Dinstall's Fine Candies and Chocolates. Mom may not be in the area, right? Mom may be somewhere else. Ship the chocolates to Mom for Mother's Day. From chocolate-covered strawberries and chocolate-covered grapes and pineapples to truffles, sea salt caramels, Dinstall's has all her favorites. Place your order now for the mom in your life and give her some great chocolates from Dinstall's. They've been making candies and chocolates for over 122 years. That's right, over 122 years. You can pick up your Dinstall's, and again, you can have them shipped and you can do this at any of the five locations. Get that taken care of. Laurelwood, Germantown, Collierville, downtown Memphis, and Pleasant View, where you can take a tour of their factory. It's Dinstall's Fine Candies and Chocolates. When we come back, hour three, we will open up with 10 in a row, the game show that has swept the nation. You can jump on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines right now at 901-360-8255. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.